Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome to our program today. It is Wednesday, June 2nd, 2021. It's hump day, middle of the weekday. Starting that long, slow glide down to Powhatan Friday and whatever insanity is in store for us. We have a lot to talk about today, and as usual, we're going to do news until we run out of news. Then we're going to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. As usual, Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. Now, there's an interesting development going on over at the United States Supreme Court. They have some major cases on the docket for the month of June, including one rising out of the Arizona voting debacle, if you will. And Senator Richard Blumenthal, who's a Democrat, is out there sort of left-handed threatening the conservative justice on the Supreme Court that if they rule, quote, the wrong way, end quote, on these cases, that the Democrats are in fact going to go ahead and pack the Supreme Court to basically get rid of the conservative majority. And so that's going to get really ugly. But I mean, the desperation of the Democrats to just come on off and literally threaten the Supreme Court of the United States of America, it really does tell you just how afraid they are. Now, getting on back down to Arizona, pardon me, they have now reached the halfway point in its hand recount of the 2.1 million ballots cast in the November election. And Kelly Ward, who's the chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party, spoke about the progress of the review in a Memorial Day video posted to Twitter and addressed a report that the GOP legislature is reviewing yet another recount that goes beyond the current probe of ballots, especially for the Senate and presidential elections. So they're starting to basically say there may have been cheating going on in other contests, and in all probability there were. They're not going to go to all that trouble just to steal the presidency. They're going to steal the House. They're going to steal the Senate. And now they're just trying to live with the aftermath because they had to push too hard. Conservatives, Trump, were winning by a huge landslide, and that's why they were literally trucking in all these new ballots to the counting centers, you know, in a desperate move to try and shift the election, which, according to those electronic voting machines, succeeded. But it did call attention to itself. Pretty much everybody understands what happened. Polls are showing the majority of American voters, including Democrats, do not think last November's election was fair and above board. Now, a delegation from Pennsylvania is visiting in Arizona. They're discussing election integrity, and they're talking about replicating the Arizona audit in Pennsylvania, which is another battleground state whose election has come under serious, serious doubt. Now, Joe Biden is giving Vice President Kamala Harris another job, which hopefully she'll ignore the way she's ignoring being the border czar. But Biden wants Kamala to tackle voting rights. And what that means is they want to reinforce the democratic model of elections, which is wide open mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, no safeguards, no voter ID, illegal immigrants. And Biden is already slamming Republicans for what he calls un-American voting integrity bills. And so the fight is definitely ongoing. And I don't think they understand that politics is perception. And the perception is watching all of these Democrats doing all of this. It makes it obvious they have something to hide. Because if last November's election was perfectly honest, pardon me, and Biden genuinely won, who would be afraid of a recount? Who would be afraid of a recount? And remember, you know, the Democrats and the corporate media are out there saying, well, we say Biden won, prove that we're wrong. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. The burden of proof is on the party or the candidates claiming victory, and through that victory, claiming authority over the American people. And if our elections are in fact fraudulent, then the government can basically do whatever it wants, completely unafraid of voter reaction. They can start wars, send your children off to be killed and crippled in them, pass huge, massive tax increases, give more money to their cronies in big business, not to mention Israel. They're completely operating without any restraint, and we're already seeing them behave like that. Story coming on out of the Gateway Pundit, yet another video has surfaced from the protest at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. This was a video taken inside the Capitol building showing the demonstrators just peacefully walking around and, you know, sightseeing like tourists. They weren't committing acts of violence. They weren't threatening anybody. The only instances we had of anything violent were committed by obvious plants, like the guy in the furs and the horns. He was obviously set up to be used by corporate media to demonize conservatives and demonize Trump supporters and demonize anybody with a white skin. So, but again, the evidence continues to surface that the demonstration was a peaceful one, that the demonstrators were literally invited into the Capitol building by the Capitol Police, and it was a setup. It was a setup to try and propagandize an image of Trump supporters and conservatives in the minds of Americans. And again, like the claim of an honest election, most Americans aren't buying it. Now, there's been a recent situation, and it's upset a lot of people, and I can understand why. And it has to do with a gentleman named Devin Dontre Dunham, who murdered Ernest Martin Stevens. And what's really interesting about this is that Devin Dontre Dunham is black, and Ernest Martin Stevens was white. Devin confessed to killing Ernest Martin Stevens. There were plenty of witnesses who saw him do it, and the jury acquitted him of all charges on the basis of racism. Oh, he's a victim of racism. He's got a black skin. We can't possibly send him to jail just because he murdered some white guy. And this is really upsetting a lot of people. There's another article over at VDare, and you know, saying that this guy committed murder. He admitted it to the police was arrested, and the jury let him go because of racism. They might as well say that black people can now commit any crime against white people without fear of prosecution, up to and including murder. That is a very, very scary precedent to see happening in our country. All right, let's get into the COVID news. There's a lot of it right now. Over at the Washington Compost, they have become the latest major corporate media outlet to do an about-face regarding the theory that COVID-19 was released from the virology lab in Wuhan, China. Up until now, the Washington Compost has been pounding this. It's a debunked conspiracy theory. It's a debunked conspiracy theory. And now they're turning around and saying, well, it may have come from a lab accident. And the corporate media is in a little bit of a pickle because, they've been told, demonize China, blame China. But at the same time, there is a link from China back to U.S. funding sources, U.S. educational institutions, U.S. military laboratories that seem to suggest strongly that COVID-19 as a project was started in the United States and then shopped over to China for whatever finishing work was required. And from there, it escaped, maybe. China is saying that it was actually released in the United States and came from the U.S. to China. Now, there has been a recent leak of emails on this whole issue. I think there's something like 3,000 emails were leaked out, and they show that Dr. Fauci was panicked about his ties to the COVID leak in China. And one of the emails seems to show that Dr. Fauci was in a panic that the National Institutes of Health, where he was involved, might have ties to the coronavirus leak. So they're trying to hush that one up. At the same time, they're demonizing China. Boy, those propaganda people are really earning their paycheck this week. Another email shows that one of the researchers who funded the Wuhan lab admits manipulating the coronavirus and thanked Fauci for helping to dismiss the lab leak theory. What is really interesting in all of these emails is nowhere has anybody found where Fauci is asking China, how did this virus come into existence? It implies that Fauci knew all along. One of the emails talking about the political fallout from this had the phrase, we will get through this together. And so, yeah, these emails are quite damning. And again, corporate media, not a word from them. Yet another prominent Chinese government official is out there saying that the U.S. military brought the coronavirus to Wuhan. This is coming from Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian. We talked about him before. And he republished a video of Robert Redfield, the director for the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, addressing a U.S. congressional committee on March 11. And in the clip, Redfield said some influenza deaths in the U.S. were later identified as cases of COVID-19. And Zhao pointed out, saying that looking at March 11th, it seems to predate the idea of COVID coming from China to the United States. And they're pointing at some of these military athletes, in particular bicycle riders, who took part in these sort of Army mini Olympics in the spirit of fellowship that took place in China near Wuhan just before everything started coming apart. Another story, this is from the Desert Review, and it's talking about a subject we've already mentioned before. Over in India, they have begun mass distribution of ivermectin, and it is absolutely shutting down their COVID problem. Right now, the current numbers are that there is a 97% decline in COVID cases where ivermectin is being used. So it is a cure. And if I recall correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, this was one of the medications that was given to Donald Trump when he came down with COVID and had his very rapid recovery. But the reality is there is demonstrably a single-shot, one-time cure for COVID-19, but the American medical industrial complex doesn't want you to know about it because the big money is going to be in those yearly COVID-19 shots, just like those yearly flu shots. Over in Israel, their health ministry released a statement yesterday detailing a probable link between the Pfizer vaccine and myocarditis. Again, another form of heart inflammation, mainly observed in young men. And so we're seeing more and more of these reports of heart conditions being triggered by these mRNA vaccines. But they're still out there trying to get you to take those shots. And over in West Virginia, the governor there is offering custom hunting rifles and shotguns as prizes in that state's COVID-19 vaccine lottery. And so they're really desperate for everybody to get that shot. And I kind of have to wonder why, when COVID-19 really isn't that lethal. There's something else going on, and we're seeing a lot of harm coming out of these vaccines. And over at Investment Watch blog, they're asking a very pertinent question. What if what is going on right now today does turn out to be the biggest vaccine injury event in history? Now, up until now, that record was held by the 1976 swine flu vaccine debacle, where they were out there saying, swine flu, swine flu, swine flu, get the shot, it's mandated. only to discover the vaccines were killing 50 times as many people as the virus was, and they had to cancel the mandatory vaccination program about one quarter of the way through. And it's another example of how these programs are not very well managed. They're certainly shortchanging it on safety and efficacy. And we could be seeing a repeat of the same thing, and we can count on the government and the corporate media to try and hide that from you. Another story, this one coming out of Natural News. It turns out that the FDA and the CDC, shall we say, misrepresented the efficacy of the vaccines to get the emergency authorized use for these vaccines using mRNA. And the article is basically saying the FDA CDC created a gray area in which they said symptoms of COVID overlap with symptoms and adverse reactions or side effects of the inoculations. In other words, they were observing adverse reactions and saying it's just a coincidence. So according to the FDA and the CDC, vaccines are the leading cause of coincidental death. Okay. So now this may be the next big booga booga scary story coming on here. China has confirmed the world's first case of a human infected with the H10N3 bird flu virus. It's a 41-year-old man. He's still in the hospital a month after contracting it, and it's a very rare strain of bird flu, but it does have a 60% mortality rate, and so we're hoping that that will stay in China and that won't become the next sales pitch used to sell us more shots into our arms. The White House and Anheuser-Busch announced earlier today they have made a deal that the Biden is going to give a free beer to every American if 70% of adults are vaccinated by the 4th of July. I wonder if he'll give us back our fireworks at the same time. And so, yeah, it's you know, it's really alarming how hard they are pushing this. And again, given the mounting evidence that COVID-19 was a botched bioweapon, the panic to get everybody vaccinated, besides the money motive here, is that they're concerned what COVID-19 might mutate into out in the wild, like the so-called Indian variant or COVID Delta, they're calling it now. All righty, let's talk about the international news now. Pardon me. The United States is going to hand over the Bagram Air Base to Afghan forces in about 20 days. And this is being reported through Agent France Press. So they're turning over that base. It's the largest and most fortified military facility in Afghanistan. It's been used by U.S. and NATO forces. Now, I believe this is where they were storing some nuclear weapons that hopefully have been removed by then. But there was some debate over just who it was who owned those nuclear weapons. Over in Iran, a couple of weird things going on. There was early today, the Iranian Republic's largest warship caught fire and sank in the Gulf of Oman. The cause is not yet known. They're describing it as mysterious circumstances. And then following that up, a massive fire broke out at the Shahid Tongguyan oil refinery, among Iran's largest. And these two events happening this close together, I don't think they're just coincidences. I think something's going on. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it. As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here, and we were talking about one of Iran's largest warships caught fire and sank, cause so far unknown, followed by a fire at one of Iran's largest refineries. Now, a few days ago, the incoming head of Mossad, David Barnaid, said that he was going to go for a lower profile Mossad, no more scandals and fewer assassinations. But then he did a complete about face at his swearing in ceremony, as quoted by Israel's Ynet, saying that the Iranian program will continue feeling Mossad's might. And so this David is threatening more assassinations and attacks inside Iran, which may have been a telegraphing of what happened this morning to the warship and the refinery. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who is still desperate for some kind of an enemy to get the Israeli people afraid and willing to support him, is saying Israel will thwart Iran's nuclear program, even at the expense of U.S. ties. And Netanyahu said he's willing to risk friendly relations with the U.S. In order to go after Iran's nuclear program. And again, is out there saying the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action should not be renewed. And a reminder that Israel was never part of that original negotiation. They don't really have a dog in that hunt, but as is typical of Israel's government, Netanyahu continues to stick his very large nose into other people's business without their permission. It's a bad habit he's picked up from the U.S. government. Meanwhile, a European Union court has thrown out a decision by Brussels officials that basically opposed a citizens' initiative to ban trade with settlements in the occupied territories of Palestine. The measure would have targeted Israel's illegal colonies on Palestinian land in the West Bank and Syria's Golan Heights. And the EU, basically Brussels, came on down and said, well, we're going to protect those businesses in Israel's illegal settlements. But the court basically said, no, you really can't do that. Such a step would have to be adopted collectively by the EU member state governments, not by the rulers in Brussels. So good for them. More than 50 high-level officials from across Europe, including former prime ministers and foreign ministers, have all signed a letter condemning the political interference in the International Criminal Court's probe into alleged war crimes in Palestine. Now, the letter was published Monday in The Guardian. It's seen as a rebuke on world leaders such as former President Trump, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who have openly criticized the ICC and efforts to hold Israel accountable under international law, because after all, it's Israel, and, you know, Israel is above the law. So we have been taught endlessly. All right. Another European Union official is now calling for the lifting of the Israeli blockade on Gaza as part of an eventual ceasefire. This was Sven Kuhn von Bergsdorf. He's the European Union representative for the Palestinian territories. And he said, you know, democratic elections do need to be held. And he praised Egyptian efforts to shore up the recent ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. Okay. Now, there was a story that came out last week that Israel likes to test their new weapons on Gaza during all of these constant incursions and attacks. And there was this article that came out of VoltaireNet talking about how Israel was testing F-35s in combat against the Palestinians. And I guess even the F-35 is going to look good against an enemy that can't shoot back. I'm waiting to see how the F-35 does in actual combat with a peer. Another story, and we talked about this before as well, this is coming out of the gray zone. To distract from the Gaza slaughter, the Israel lobby is manufacturing an anti-Semitism freakout. Oh, it's anti-Semitism here, anti-Semitism there, anti-Semitism everywhere. You know something? We're sick of hearing the word. We're suffering from anti-Semitism burnout. And we've seen the pattern so many times. Every time Israel does something really tacky, you know, they'll start, you know, faking the hate crimes and saying, oh, feel sorry for us, feel sorry for us, feel sorry for us. Well, I'm sorry. No, you've burned it out. I don't feel sorry for you. Okay, the resentment toward Israel has nothing to do with your religion. It's got nothing to do with your ethnic background. It has everything to do with how you behave in the modern world. And all the screaming about anti-Semitism and Jew hate and the rest of it just isn't going to change that. I mean, to hear Israel go on and on about, you know, criticizing Israel as anti-Semitism, that's like saying the only reason people bitch about the Nazis is they hate the German people. And if you look at it, it really is very silly. And yet Israel has gotten away with this with the assistance of the American corporate media for about 60 years. And I don't know about you, but as I get on in age, enough is enough is enough. Okay, we got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the international news, and there's an old saying. Actually, it's not old. I just made it up. If it's a good day in Israel, they ask for money. If it's a bad day in Israel, they ask for money. And following the 11-day bombing campaign against the Gazans, who should be noted don't have an air force, don't have a navy, don't have a standing army, the United States is being asked by Israel for another $1 billion with a B, primarily to replenish the Iron Dome missiles, which I think those things go for $100,000 a pop, and they're probably going to get it. They're going to succeed in getting the U.S. government to make you pay for Israel's aggressions against the Palestinians. And the Iron Dome, despite all the press and everything, it really only had about a 50% success rate, which is an improvement, but only because the missiles coming from Hamas are much more stable in flight. With the earlier missiles, the Qassam that was coming over from Palestine, they would weave back and forth in the sky and corkscrew, and that made intercept almost impossible. Now they tend to fly much more precisely. That has the downside of making them a little bit easier to hit, but it's still only about 50%. And certainly it's not a very cost-effective weapon systems when you've got a $100,000 missile that's knocking down a missile that maybe costs $2,000 to build. But again, if it's a good day in Israel, they ask for money. If it's a bad day in Israel, they ask for money. Over in Palestine, things are not going smoothly there. The Palestinian people are kind of fed up with Mahmoud Abbas. They're demanding that he step down and they allow democratic elections in Palestine, which I would be in agreement with because all too often Abbas seems to have been a little bit subservient to Israel's will rather than that of the Palestinian people. Meanwhile, the Israeli army has attacked and destroyed a Syrian observation post in the Golan Heights. Now, Israel claimed that the observation post was a sovereignty violation by Syria, accusing them of having the post west of the line dividing Golan between Syrian territory and Israeli-occupied and annexed territory. And that's a rather ironic thing for them to talk about lines when Israel still has not officially drawn its border. Now, almost no nation recognizes Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights, the United States being one of the few that does. In fact, the United States is the only nation that recognizes Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights. So now you know who's really in charge of the U.S. government, and it's not Joe Biden. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights in Great Britain is now saying that 500,000 Syrians have been killed in the last 10 years of the war. And the war has been raging now for 10 years, and it's killed a lot of people. The death toll includes 159,000 civilians, including more than 25,000 children. Now, war is a terrible, terrible thing. Up in Europe, in Belarus, that whole region, the foreign minister of Belarus, Vladimir Makey, recently told the Russian newspaper Kommersant that the threat of a new Cold War and possibly even a hot war appeared to be confronting the nation. Right now, there are U.S. troops permanently stationed only 6 to 9 miles from the border of Belarus. This is the closest hostile military presence since World War II. But I wouldn't be too worried about that U.S. military presence. They're really not very good. We were reporting earlier in the week about vehicles running off the road and raiding the wrong building, and it looks like they did it again in Bulgaria. During Exercise Swift Response 21, soldiers assigned to the 173rd Airborne Brigade simulated seizing and securing the decommissioned Cheshnigorovo airfield in Bulgaria by entering and clearing bunkers and structures. But by mistake, they entered a building next to the airfield that was actually a private company making olive oil. So, all that expensive technology, somebody get out your iPhone and get out the mapping utility and find out where the heck you're supposed to be, because that's like twice this has happened now. Why didn't you attack the enemy? Well, they weren't there. What can I tell you? Over in the European Parliament, they have now frozen the ratification of the China Investment Treaty. It was looking like China and Europe were going to be doing business together. And the parliament basically just backed off and hit this ratification freeze. It's chilling relations between Europe and China yet again. Okay, on Memorial Day, to basically show them that they still could, I guess, U.S. and NATO B-52H Stratofortress strategic bombers, accompanied by military aircraft from 21 other NATO nations, flew over all 30 NATO member states on Memorial Day. That includes the five that border Russia: Norway, Poland, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. Now, the B-52s are designed to carry nuclear weapons, and they started deployment to Europe in 2018 under the Pentagon's Bomber Task Force, and have maintained a steady presence in Europe, in one instance landing at a Norwegian airbase within the Arctic Circle. So we're going back to the days of bombers in the air at all times and fail safe and all that other nonsense. It costs so much money and accomplished absolutely nothing. Getting into the economic news, Russia is again warning of the impending threat of the West locking its banks away from using the SWIFT international payment system amid a broad spiral of sanctions. And the Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman Dmitry Burchevsky said it's no secret there are threats, primarily from the United States, to disconnect Russia from the SWIFT system. Well, it could certainly move forward, but there are now other international payment systems in place, including that used by the BRICS nations, of which Russia is one. And so it's going to be more a case of the West, the United States, and Europe isolating themselves economically from the rest of the world than causing Russia any real harm. Remember that attempt to destroy Russia's economy with an oil price war? And it failed when it turned out that Russia's economy was far more diversified than U.S. analysts had thought. And they wound up wrecking American and Canadian oil companies. They threw Saudi Arabia into serious, serious economic hardship. So I don't know if they're making these plans up with a dartboard or something over there. A little bit of good news. OPEC has announced that it's going to increase oil output in July. This will, of course, mean a supply glut and lower prices for us all. And so that's a little bit of good news. It turns out China, which is one of the major Bitcoin mining centers of the world, is starting to crack down on them. And they're looking at these Bitcoin miners. I mean, these are huge operations. They're literally building these giant buildings full of computers right next to hydroelectric dams where they can get cheap electricity for mining Bitcoin. But China is starting to crack down on that. And it could have implications for the rest of the world. I'm waiting for some computer whiz to find a way to shortcut that mining process. So instead of taking 100 hours to mine some portion of a Bitcoin, you can get it in just a couple of minutes, and that will bring the whole thing crashing down. Out in Los Angeles, where they have a huge, huge homeless problem, they are now basically saying that over half of the fires in Los Angeles County are being caused by the homeless. A lot of them are just campfires to keep warm and cook food that get out of control. A lot of them are just deliberate arson from people who have just given up all hope and they're flipping out there on the streets. But that is a major, major problem. The other major problem we're looking at is, of course, the end of the eviction moratorium started during the pandemic, and it's going to open the door to a disaster. They're looking at this article in Investment Watch blog. 500,000, half a million people over the age of 50 are about to be evicted, and we're talking people who are already having to work two jobs just to pay for food. And something needs to be done. I mean, you know, I feel sorry for the landlords and the mortgage holders who are also economically harmed by all this. But if we dump millions and millions of Americans onto the streets of America, I guarantee there are going to be riots. And in my book, the U.S. government created this crisis by poor management when it was all happening, and it's up to the U.S. government to fix it somehow. Getting into immigration, this is getting really kind of weird. The Biden administration is scrapping the FBI background checks for caregivers in the child migrant shelters. or as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez no longer calls them, the concentration camps. This is alarming child welfare experts who says this compromises safety. And yes, it does, because you have people who get off on harming children are going to start applying for those caregiver jobs. And they do need to be vetted. But in order to deal with the flood of migrant children, the government is lowering the bar required to watch them. And again, another disaster headed in the wrong way through bad mismanagement. On this issue, Trump was what? Right. Build a wall. Disincentivize moving to this country. Stop giving the illegals free stuff. Stop giving them free homes and free medical care and free car driver's licenses and all the rest of it, and just say, look, go back home. We've got our own problems to deal with. Now, things are getting so bad that Texas Governor Greg Abbott has issued a disaster declaration for Texas southern border, providing more resources and strategies to combat the ongoing influx of illegal immigrants. Abbott is authorizing the use of all necessary and available state and local resources to protect landowners in these counties from trespassers and the damage that is being caused by these illegal immigrants just traipsing across other people's property. The governor has also directed the Texas Department of Public Safety to enforce all federal and state criminal laws, including criminal trespass, smuggling, and human trafficking. Good for Governor Abbott. We definitely need a strong, firm hand on that issue. Okay, we're going to get into some science and technology news as we come up on the top of the hour, and I've been harping on this for quite a while. pardon me. Story out of BlabberBuzz, the next front will be cyber, and America is not ready. And I think this is an artifact of having a political ruling class which understands politics, but is clueless about modern technology or engineering or science or health or anything else that would actually be useful to the American people. And we're losing our technological lead both to Russia and China, and we're losing the lead in computer technology to Russia, China, and Japan. Okay. All right. Let's see. Now, earlier we were talking about this world's biggest meat supplier, JBS, was hit by a cyber attack that shut down their plants in Australia and Canada and the U.S. It's already being blamed on Russia. No evidence to support that whatsoever. And again, it's our political class. They don't know how to solve the problem. They just know they have to find somebody to blame for it. You know, we can't fix it, but it's all Russia's fault. Or China, or whoever they want to do that time. Now, JBS has said they have made significant progress, and they're basically they reopened their meat plants today. So it's not going to be that big a shock to the country's economy, although Claire and I did hit the local market to stock up early this morning, and prices definitely were up. But I don't think it's going to be as bad a shock as the Continental Pipeline shutdown. But between JBS and Continental, it does, in fact, show that the United States government has completely dropped the ball on what is one of the most critical infrastructures we have in this country, the Internet and our interlinked computer systems. You know, they're out there thinking about, you know, how can we, you know, let these streaming video players have priority over the net and make sure they can sell their movies and stuff. And they're just oblivious to the dangers out there because they don't know. They don't know. I mean, we're talking about a class of people who talked about the internets, plural, you know, and how it's really like a bunch of tubes going through the machines. Now, a little bit of good news. Last week, Interpol arrested almost 600 people in this massive cybercrime bust. It was a seven-month operation, and the perpetrators allegedly hijacked over $83 million in funds from victims during their crime spree. Now, the Interpol operation was dubbed Haiichi 1. It began in September of 2020 and focused on financial cybercrime in Korea. And they followed the leads over the next several months. The operation expanded to involve investigators from Cambodia, China, Indonesia, Korea, Laos, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. So basically, invoices with modified banking information were injected into a legitimate email thread with a contractor, and $7 million was redirected to accounts in Indonesia and Hong Kong. They're getting very, very clever out there. Got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be back with more.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about computers and security and hackers and cybercrime. And one of the ways that we know that the government has absolutely dropped the ball on cybercrime and scammers in general is there are so many scams out there. And I got like three different emails today trying to scam me out of, you know, important information. And there's an article that came out of MSN.com, not surprisingly, actually from KDK in Pittsburgh. There's a new scam going around, sending out text messages claiming to be from your bank. One went to a cybersecurity expert who didn't actually have an account at that bank. And so he immediately understood it was a scam. And the text message said, immediately call this number. It was an area code 412 number. And when he called the number as a test, it asked him to enter his social security number, which is always a dead giveaway. You never, ever, ever give away your social security number. Now, on the iPhone, I'm a big iPhone fan. And in the latest operating system, there's a couple of new features. For one thing, if somebody calls you and they're not in your known contacts, or it's a number that Apple knows is a scammer or spammer, the call will not ring through. It'll show up in your little recent calls listing. And if you look closely at the phone numbers in your recent calls, you will see there's a little check mark just to the left of some of them. And that is telling you that the phone number has been verified as actually being accurate. It's the real number somebody is calling from, and it's not being spoofed. And so Apple is really doing a lot of work to try and keep the privacy there. And so good on them as well. But again, we need a Manhattan Project scale effort to secure our phone systems, our tech systems, and our computers against these criminal elements, because right now our economy simply cannot afford the kinds of losses that we're seeing. We're talking in the tens of billions of dollars every single year that are going out to these cyber criminals. And yes, a lot of them are located in other countries where they're immune from American laws. But if they can find technological ways to cheat us, then I think it's technologically possible to find better ways to keep them at bay. All right, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now, 512-248-8252, and we're going to start with Layla in Canada. Hello, Layla. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. You mentioned something earlier about the Supreme Court, and the Democrats are threatening to sack the Supreme Court if if the justices don't follow their orders.
Yes.
There ain't no way that Clarence Thomas is going to allow that. Clarence Thomas is an originalist. If anything, he's been criticized for not asking questions. And
okay,
I believe
Layla?
That because
yeah, Layla, I got to put you on hold. Yes. We got to take a station identification. Do not hang up.
Sure.
I'm going to come right back to you after these words from our sponsors.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.